Turning your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, we're continuing our study of Paul's letter to his co-worker Titus. Titus is left on the island of Crete. Paul left him there to fulfill ministry. As we move into this final chapter, and there's not but about three or four messages left in the book of Titus as we go through it this summer, we see some of the clearest teaching really in the Word of God dealing with salvation. It is one of the great passages because we realize that it's not by our works, it's not by what we do. We are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. According to his mercy, he saves us. And we want to be thankful for that as we look at these great truths this morning. As we see Titus chapter 3, our verses this morning, we're going to start really at verse 4 and go through verse 7. We saw the verses 1 through 5 last week, and then we're going back and getting a little bit more detail. The issue of salvation is probably one of the most important truths from the Bible. Now, this last week at Vacation Bible School, I mean, that was the emphasis. We talked about the love of Jesus Christ, and we talked about the salvation message. It comes up a lot. People say, well, how is a person saved? How does a person saved from eternal separation from God? How does a person have eternal life? How does a person, as some people put it, go to heaven? If you ask people, you get all kind of answers. People say things like, well, you try to be good, or you go to church, or you try to live a good life, or maybe you try our best, or we keep the commandments, or we get baptized. There's a lot of confusion. When you really start thinking about it, we can look at it in two different ways. We can see man's work or God's work. When you think about man's work, man says, do good. And if you talk to people and you say, how do you think a person goes to heaven? People say, well, you know, you got to live a good life, or you got to do this, or you got to join a church, or you got to walk down an aisle, or you got to do all kinds of different things. The problem when one looks at it and says, well, you try to do the best you can or live a good life, they're not understanding the standard. The standard is not a good life. The standard is perfection. If you've ever sinned one time, the wages of sin is what? What is it? It's death. If you've ever sinned one time, you're out. So if a person says, I'm going to try to be good enough to get to God, you can't be good enough, because if you've ever sinned one time, you're out. If you look at it the second way, you look at God's work, and that's God, what God does, not what we do. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. As John 3:16 says, God loves us. He sent his son, Jesus, died for us, paid for our sins, and rose again. And when we trust in him, we believe simply in him as our Savior, he gives to us eternal life. It is not based on our works or our goodness or our righteousness. It's not based on us being good or going to church or trying to live a good life. Salvation is a gift given freely to all who believe. So here's a question to all of you, and most of you I know this answer, but how are you trying to get to heaven? How are you trying to have eternal life or salvation? Is it by your works, by what you've tried to do, trying to live a good life, or is it simply through Jesus Christ, who died for you and paid for your sins and rose again? And when you trust in him and him alone, he gives you eternal life. This morning, we're going to quickly, and I mean very quickly, we're going to go through Titus chapter 3, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. We look at that at Stillwater Bible. We go through what we do, what we call expository teaching. We teach through the Bible, verse by verse, passage by passage. For the last number of weeks, we've been in Titus, and we're now in Titus chapter 3, and we'll look this morning at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 as we go through it. It's very clear in this passage about God's plan of salvation. There's a great contrast. We're saved not because of what we've done, our works, but simply through his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. As we look at this passage, we're going to see that the Father sent the Son, that the Son died and rose again, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us, and we'll talk about that. As you get to the end, as we get to the end of chapter 2, which is just recently, we saw the grace of God. And people talk about grace, but what grace actually is unmerited favor. It's getting what you do not deserve. That's what grace is. And we realize that grace of God has appeared for salvation. That is through God's grace that we're saved. It's God's grace for the Christian life. It's God's grace even for the future. We saw that at the very end of chapter 2 of the book of Titus. And then as we continue on, we're going to see this morning God's grace to us and how we're saved, not by our works of righteousness, but through Jesus Christ and through what God is doing. Here's an outline. The outline of our little passage this morning is this. In verses 4 through 7, we're going to see God the Father, what he did. We're going to see God the Holy Spirit, what he did. We're going to see God the Son, Jesus Christ, what he did, and the end results, and what we have, and we'll see it as we go through it. And I'm going to go through very quickly this morning. We know that with the children's program and everything, we're just rushed on time. But I want you to see this. Let's start with the Father's work. What did the Father do? Look at verse 7. It says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. Now, I want you to understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, if you look at Titus chapter 3, verse 3, it says, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to lust and pleasures, living in malice, living in envy, hateful, hating one another. But this is what we were like. But God, when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. See, God's kindness and love appeared. And here's the question. When did the kindness and love of God appear? It appeared through Jesus Christ. At exactly the right time, God so loved the world that He gave His Son. We think back to the Christmas story where at exactly the right time, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem as the eternal Son of God, becoming a human being so He could be our substitute, so He could die for us, so He could pay for our sins. And so the kindness and love of God appeared when Jesus Christ came. John 3:16, we've mentioned it before, but God so loved the world, that's us, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, gave Him to die and rise again for us, that whosoever, that's anyone, would believe in Him, it's not our works but faith, would believe in Him, would never perish, be separated, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, for God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, He sent His Son into the world to save us. Jesus came to give us eternal life as a gift. By faith. That's what we see. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, God saved us. That's the work. And this is all. God sent His Son into the world. The kindness and love of God appeared. God sent the Son. That's what He did. Now, as we continue on in this verse, now notice verse 4 says, when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Now, I want you to notice what He says clearly. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. God saved us not based on what we do, not our good works, but God's grace and mercy and love. The righteousness of man is filthy rags. There's nothing we could ever do to earn our salvation. But God, in His grace and mercy, in fact, that's what He says, but according to His mercy, He saves us. That's why the Bible says over and over that it's by grace we're saved through faith and we're saved by believing. And whoever trusts in Him has eternal life. Over and over, it's always faith. And so we've seen the work of the Father, that is to send the Son. We're going to also see the work of the Spirit, which is regeneration, and the work of the Son, which is death and resurrection. Let's take a look at the work of the Spirit. What did He do? Notice what it says. He saves us not on the basis of our deeds, which we have done in our righteousness, but according to His mercy, and then watch, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. There are three words that I think stand out. Washing, regeneration, and Holy Spirit. I want you to think about and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The first of all, the word washing, it means to make clean, to make righteous. God takes us who are unrighteous and makes us righteous. The word regeneration means to make us alive. We were spiritually dead. He makes us spiritually alive. The word renewing has the idea that we become a new creation in Christ. And so when you look at it, He makes us, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He makes us righteous. Romans 4:5, when we believe in Jesus Christ, He gives us His righteousness. He makes us alive. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in sin, but He's made us alive, and He makes us new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's who we are. Understand that this is from what the Holy Spirit does for us. He takes us from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. We are made righteous, we are made alive, and we are made new. This is the work of the Spirit. So we have seen that we're new people in Christ, we're called saints, we're holy and alive in Christ. So we see that the Father sent the Son for us, that the Holy Spirit makes us righteous, makes us alive, and makes us a new person. And with that in mind, there's one more, and that's the Son. What did He do? And that's going to be verse 6. Notice what it says. Whom He poured out upon us, and the Holy Spirit poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Son is the Savior. It's all possible through Jesus Christ. When we sing the songs, when you see the children singing the songs, the emphasis is Jesus Christ. The emphasis in our church is the message of Jesus Christ, how God loved us, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He is the Savior. The Son is the Savior. And if you think about it, back in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us and purify us. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, to rise again, conquering death, and to give to us eternal life. That's why He came. That's why He's the Savior. And so in this passage, we see the Father sent the Son, we see the Spirit regenerates us, and we see Jesus Christ is the one who is the Savior. We mentioned it earlier when we did the Lord's Supper, but 1 John 2:2 says He's the satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And anyone who will believe in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. It's all possible simply by faith. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For by grace, getting what you do not deserve, you have been saved, saved from eternal separation, through faith." It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not works, lest anyone should boast. It is amazing to me, and we talked about it in our Grow group, and we talk about it in Sunday school, and we talk about all kind of things, that if you go into this community, or you go almost in any community, and you ask people, what do you think a person has to do to have a life or to have a relationship with God? You can put it any way you want to. You can say, how does a person go to heaven? How does a person have eternal life? How does a person have a relationship with God? The answers are so amazing to see people say, well, you have to try to be good, or you have to go to church, you have to live a certain way, you have to do certain things. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, it is by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of us. It's not what we do. It's simply faith alone in Christ alone. It's called a gift. If you can do anything for it, it is not a gift. If I said to you, you can be saved if you do the following things, that's not a gift. A gift is given freely, and God loved the world. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, and whoever believes has eternal life. In this passage this morning, we've seen several things. We've seen God the Father, His work, in His grace, His mercy, and His love. He sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to die and rise for us. We see the Holy Spirit, His work, makes us righteous, gives us His righteousness, makes us alive, we were dead, and makes us brand new. And then we see this is all through Jesus Christ and His work, how He came and died for us and rose again. The Father sent the Son. The Holy Spirit regenerates. The Son died and rose again for us. Now, the results, and that's verse 7. Look what he says, how verse 7 comes, look what it says, so that. And when you study the Bible and you look at the Bible, you find that in the Greek, there's certain words that sort of stand out. And this is a word at the beginning of the verse 7 that actually says, here's the result of this. Here's the fact that the God loved us, the Holy Spirit did this, the Son did this, so that. And so here's the results. And the results are three things. It says that we'd be justified by His grace, so we'd be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Three things: justification, heirs, and eternal life. Justification is this: to be declared righteous. Every one of us in this room, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God takes all of us who are unrighteous, fallen short of God's glory, He takes us and gives us His righteousness, and we become righteous people. The second thing that he says is we become heirs. We get an inheritance that is given to us by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, by the Father. That inheritance includes a lot of things, but we become a child of God. We have a home in heaven. We'll have a new body. We have eternal life. All of those are what we inherit the moment we trust in Jesus Christ. He says, so we are justified by His grace. We made heirs, and then according to the hope of eternal life. I love eternal life. I love the way the Bible puts it. You notice the Bible didn't just say He gives you life. The Bible says He gives you eternal life. Eternal life is life that lasts forever. There's some people who say, well, you could lose eternal life. You couldn't lose eternal life. If you lost eternal life, it wasn't eternal. It was life for a while. If the Bible said God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have life for a while. That's what, but it doesn't say life for a while. It says, have eternal life. Eternal life is life that never ends. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Now, let me tell you something that is amazing, okay? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid for the sins of every human being. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, He conquered death for every human being. That means every human being one day will be raised from the dead to exist forever. Now, I would put it that way. I didn't say live forever. Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior have eternal life, and they will live forever with Jesus Christ. Those who have not trusted Jesus Christ will be raised from the dead to die forever, to be separated from God. His Bible calls it the second death. Eternal life is living forever with Jesus Christ. If you do not have eternal life, you have what the Bible calls the second death. Every one of us in this room, either you're going to live forever with Jesus Christ and have eternal life, or you're going to be separated from Jesus Christ forever, and it's called the second death. We have always called it the lake of fire. Most people call it hell. The bottom line is either you put your trust in Christ and you have eternal life and you're with him forever, or you reject Jesus Christ and you're separated from him forever in the lake of fire. It is that simple. He says when we believe in Christ, we're justified by his grace, so we'd be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God has saved us forever in Jesus Christ, not based on our works, but based on his grace. God's salvation in Christ is not based on our goodness, but on God's grace. What have we seen this morning? We're going to bring it to a summary, and that is this. We have seen the Father sent the Son into the world. God gave the Son. We've seen the Holy Spirit makes us righteous, makes us alive, and makes us new. We have seen that the Son, Jesus Christ, died and rose again for us. The end result, by faith, we have eternal life. We are justified, made heirs, and have eternal life. What a great message. And that's just found in this little book of Titus. Now, it's found throughout the whole Bible in all kind of different places. But when Paul was writing to Titus, he said, remind them that even though we were once foolish and disobedient, God saved us through his grace, through his love, through his kindness, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let me give you some quick applications. Let's understand God's work for us in salvation. It's not our work, it's God's work. First of all, remember, it's not our works. It's what God has done. We can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. What has God done? Realize what God has done. He is the Father, and his grace, mercy, and love has sent Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit makes us righteous and a new person in Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Son, died and rose again for us. Our response, and that would be the response for anyone in this room, is to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Faith in Christ for eternal life. That's the response. It is not our works, but his grace, mercy, and love. If you are here this morning and you have never understood that, if you've always thought, listen, I try to go to church or be good or do the best I can, you need to realize you can't do any of that. You can never measure up. None of us can. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to be the Savior, not us. He died and rose again. And when we trust in him, you believe in him and trust in him, he gives you eternal life as a gift. I hope and pray right where you're sitting, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. The second thing is, let's realize what we have by faith in Christ. We are justified. We are declared righteous with God. We have the inheritance to be able to be a child of God and to be with Jesus forever. And he gives to us eternal life, which is living with Jesus forever. Last but not least, let's be faithful to tell other people. What you saw, or what you may not have gotten to see, maybe some parents got to see it. This last week in Vacation Bible School, there were a number of volunteers who over and over told these children how they could have eternal life as a gift by faith. When this service is over, we're going to go out those doors. We have the privilege and responsibility to go into our community and to tell people they can have eternal life as a gift by faith in Jesus Christ. It is that simple. That is the message. May we be faithful to do that.